Assalamu alaikum. This is Amin Yasir Muhammad. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah. I bear witness that Muhammad is the slave servant and messenger. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Through technicalities today, I'm broadcasting late. It's 5:38 here in Los Angeles, in California, 5:38. I guess in the Midwest, it's maybe 6:38, and on the East Coast right now, maybe three hours difference. It's 8:39 right now. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. The name of our show is Why They Want You to Be Rich. Why They Want You to Be Rich. It is a show following the teachings of Imam W.D. Muhammad. I am a student of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And Imam W.D. Muhammad, in a talk that he gave March the 2nd, 2008, about 6 months before he passed, pretty sure it's March the 2nd, 2008, he's talking about a new book and a new effort, a new initiative that two authors are putting together. It was a book. Imam Muhammad was commenting on a book called Why We Want You to Be Rich. Why We Want You to Be Rich. Now, the name of my show is Why They Want You to Be Rich. And when I say they, I'm talking about President Donald Trump, Robert Kiyosaki, and Imam W.D. Muhammad. Why They Want You to Be Rich. And my intention is to teach and guide our community to as much business and financial matters as we can. That's why Imam Muhammad was attracted to that book. It was a book written in 2006, by Donald Trump, Robert Kiyosaki, Why We Want You to Be Rich. So I would urge you to get the book, because that is going to be our focus. I am a teacher. I am an educator. And I am also a businessman. I'm a licensed real estate broker. I'm an author. I wrote a book, Afrocentricity Minus Al-Salam Cheats. It was a critique of the Afrocentric movement and how they were lambasting and bad-mouthing our community. So not that I'm heavy. It's not that I know a lot. But I want to follow guidance, and I want to follow the advice at the teachings of Imam W.D. Muhammad. He has certain programs that he asked us to get behind, and so many of the leadership in our community ignored what he was saying, didn't want to get behind the things that he talked about. For instance, collective buying, another thing, the term Muhammad schools. You see, they never did really, really get behind these efforts. And it kind of angered Imam Muhammad so much that he used to talk about it all the time. He used to talk about it all the time. So please believe me, you know. That is my intention. My name is Amin Yasir Muhammad. The name of our show is Why They Want You to Be Rich. Alhamdulillah, Imam Muhammad really praised the book, and he praised that effort, Why We Want You to Be Rich, by Donald Trump and Robert Kiyosaki. Look it up. Look it up yourself. Go get the book. It's a book also that the Imam wrote called Life, the Final Battlefield, and you'll find his comments about an Asian and a Caucasian. Good-hearted humans, he calls them. Good-hearted humans, because they want to help people who ordinarily would not get help. So he calls them good-hearted humans. And I'm sticking with that. I like that. I like that. No matter what the media, how they try to portray Donald Trump in a negative light, you know, I kind of like that guy. I like that guy. Why? Well, number one, last month he signed a bill where it wouldn't be any more federal money being allocated to abortions. And you know, Allah says in the Holy Quran, he says, kill not your children for fear of want. I'll care for you and for them too. So Allah says in the Holy Quran, you know, to you know, and we interpret that as that we don't abort children. But since 1973, when Roe versus Wade was did it at the Supreme Court sanctioned abortion among African Americans, since 1973, African Americans have aborted 17, according to the article that I read, 17 million. Baby, our people, since 1973, since Roe versus Wade came about. If anybody wants to contact me, they can contact me at Mohammed@dslextreme.com. Mohammed, M-O-H-A-M-M-E-D, at dslextreme.com. If you have comments, I've only been broadcasting a little bit of maybe 2 or 3 weeks now, and I don't have all the equipment that inshallah I will have inshallah. So right now we do the best we can. 17 million abortions. Also, Donald Trump, his allies, the Christian church that supports him, some of the conservative people are not subscribers to homosexuality and same-sex marriage. And so he is going to, even though he says, well, it's law. They asked him, are you for it? He said, well, it's law. You know, that was his way of dodging it during the election. But believe you me, he is against same-sex marriage, and he's going to do all he can. I think this Supreme Court nominee Gorsuch is going to be a vote to get rid of same-sex marriage. Another reason, you know, the first reason, because Imam Muhammad says he's a good-hearted human, and number two, he is against abortions. Number three, he's been making overtures to get rid of the same-sex marriage initiative here. Number four, he is an advocate of vouchers, of choice. Fair Muhammad schools need funding. We have children who are in public schools throughout the nation, and we're going to try to create an effort to where we could create more Fair Muhammad schools and get some of this voucher money that is our money. We're taxed. It's our money. All we're getting back is what is ours. In other words, it's not going to the public school system. It's going to vouchers. And so we'll be able to get our share of the voucher money. So that's another reason why I kind of like Donald Trump. Kind of like him. You know, they paint him as being wild and uncouth. No, he's not a politician. He's a businessman, you know. And I agree with Imam Muhammad. He says, Imam Muhammad said then, he's good-hearted, you know. And I think Imam Muhammad's a pretty good judge of character. I follow Imam Muhammad on that. Another thing, too, that another angle that I want to pursue is those wars in the Middle East. Since September 11th, 2001, 16 years, we've been fighting in the Middle East. And we see so many Muslim refugees. We see these maimed and hurt and crying babies all over, from Afghanistan to Syria to Africa, wherever we are, and these wars are going on. We see these refugees. The Muslim is the number one refugee in the world. The Muslim is the number one refugee in the world. And so we need to do something about that. And I don't see, this is my position. I don't see how Donald Trump is going to pursue wars like his predecessor did. Barack Obama used drones. His administration attacked Libya, Gaddafi, and now they are embroiled in this war in Syria. And they continue the military industrial complex where these people have contracts to produce bombs and bullets and tanks and missiles and submarines and all these weapons of war, and they get paid. They're war profiteers, they're warmongers, they're war profiteers. They invest in companies who produce war materials, you see. That's the military industrial complex. So they keep something going, and these people don't really fight to win. They always want to just keep the wars going, keep the military appropriations going, the billions and billions of dollars, even trillions of dollars. They just want to keep these wars going day after day, month. They don't want to win them, stop them, because they make too much money. But I'm like Ron Paul. Ron Paul is my hero. Ron Paul ran for president. And Ron Paul says they have a kind of like a bloodlust also too. They just don't mind killing up a lot of people and having these children all maimed and blow up too. So they're sadistic people. Sadistic. They invest in these wars. They get money. They make plenty of money, but they're a little bit sadistic. They're a little bit callous. They don't really care about human life. Human life. They're all overseas. And, our people, our American people are paying the price because we have, these wars going on, and we have people who are trying to maybe get over here. It's scary to death because these people are overseas bombing these people and killing these people and stirring up a mess. And we have certain terrorists who maybe want to come up here through Mexico or Canada, however they could get here, to sit in me and do damage to us. And now we're the ones caught up in between these terrorists who want revenge and these people who want to get money, make money off these wars. And they put us, I'm like Ron Paul. Ron Paul ran for president. He said, it makes us all less safe. We're all less safe. You know what I mean? So you have a situation where President Trump, you know what I mean? He said, well, let's put a ban on these two guys, because if you think about it, it's common sense. We don't know who wants to come over here. Somebody might want to come over here who lost their family or lost loved ones or lost all their belongings to these wars. Might want to come over here and do damage to others. We're caught in between. It's kind of like people fighting in the streets, and we're, you know what I mean? And we get into it. And, you know, we're victimized by a stray bullet or something. You see? So, it's kind of understandable what, Trump had to do. He said, well, let's stop these people from some of these nations that are suspect. And, if you or I was the leader of this country, given if you had a knowledge of what's going on and how all this stuff was actually started in the first place, you might do the same thing. Well, wait a minute. Let's kind of like vet and check out who's coming over here, because some of these people, maybe have revenge big time in their heart, big time revenge. You know what I mean? And, here we are, setting ducks, because people want to make money off these wars. You know what I mean? So, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Ron Paul has a book out. It's called Swords to Plowshares. You know that is a saying from the Bible. You know, you convert your swords into plowshares. In other words, you know, convert your weapons of war into weapons or tools of productivity. You see, and he's very, and Ron Paul is very much against these wars. That's how I discovered. One day I was looking at YouTube, and while Ron Paul, this was a few years ago, and while Ron Paul was a congressman, he was asking the Congress to not, I think it was not appropriate so much money to the military budget. So he gave Ron Paul, it was his turn to talk, he was in Congress, and he gave a talk. Then he started talking about the neocons, how these neocons, you know what I mean, who were Zionists, you know, were capturing a part of our State Department and a part of our government dealing with military had captured it, and they were steering the Pentagon and our military people toward war in the Middle East. They wanted to, one of the first thing they wanted to do was attack Saddam Hussein no matter what, you see. And so Ron Paul was just talking about the neocons and the history of these people in the skirmishes, how America had gotten into these people's business and all that. And I was listening to him, and I said, this guy really, really? And he said, stop the wars. Stop the wars in the Middle East. We don't need, bring our boys home, bring our men home, our men and women home from over there. We don't need to be meddling in these people's affairs. Leave these people alone. And he was talking about Muslims. He was talking about, leave those Muslims alone. You're over there under some excuse. You know what I mean? And from that point, I started really investigating Ron Paul, and I sure wanted him to be president. But he did his job, because while he ran for president in 2012, he had an opportunity to give his estimation of these wars, how these wars come about through the Federal Reserve and money being allocated to these wars from the Federal Reserve. He talked about audit the Fed, audit the Federal Reserve, abolish the Federal Reserve, bring our troops home, you know, don't demonize the Muslims. Oh, Ron Paul's my hero. People should, but we got so enamored with Barack Obama in 2012, and you know we love Barack Obama, but I think he may be in trouble now because of these revelations coming out about this wiretapping and the surveillance and everything while Donald Trump, because January 20th was the inauguration day for Donald Trump, and they continued with, they continued after he was president. Now, if they was right, if the intelligence community was right, they should have said, Mr. President, we have some information for you. Some of the people in your campaign are being watched and surveyed, and you know, go to the president and tell him if they were right, you know. But it's not working out like that. So I don't know what's going to happen to former President Barack Obama now, because more and more information coming out about his role or his administration, or maybe senior officials in his administration role. And wiretapping and the surveillance and national, you know, the NSA and all like that, the CIA, all, good God. There's so much, alhamdulillah. Vouchers. we need to encourage, we need to put pressure on the imams in our communities who have masjids to convert these masjids into schools. That's what Imam Muhammad's plan was a couple decades ago. He says, brothers and sisters, don't build masjids. He says, build schools. Build schools for our children. And we can hold Juma and Talim in the schools. In the schools. We don't need, because we're actually commanded and mandated to attend the masjids. It's for Juma. That's only an hour or two, you see. So Imam Muhammad said, why not build a school that is more needed and wanted and necessary? A school for our children, where we can teach our children mathematics, Islamic education, you know, keep our kids away from the negative influences. So Imam Muhammad says, build schools, not masjids, and we should, as a community, we should encourage and put pressure on the imams to become more educational minded and be more concerned with our children's future and our children's education, and start efforts to convert some of these masjids to school. I understand Imam Ronald Shaheed is an example of a brother who did just that. He's a director over the school. He's the imam, but also the director over the school. And from what I understand, he focused all his resources, his money and everything, to the school. And they hold their functions, their talims, their jumas, their weddings, and other affairs in the school, you see. Because they have, from what I understand, I think, like a multi-purpose room where they could do this. So I plan to encourage our community to become rich like Imam Muhammad wanted us to do. The first book on the reading list should, Why We Want You to Be Rich, you need to go to the bookstore or however you get it, order it on Amazon or go get it at Barnes & Noble. Why We Want You to Be Rich. And what we need to do is start studying business. Start studying business. This is what we want to do, study business. And then also we want to look at MCOP, American Muslim Committee, to purchase 100,000 commodities, something like that. MCOP was an effort way back in the 80s, like 83 or so, when Imam Muhammad did. Then he had CPC. So we're going to study CPC. We're going to study AMCOP at CPC and see where we went wrong, you know, and bring it up to the day. And we're going to continue in the line of what Imam Muhammad was encouraged us to do, go into business, our neighborhoods. We don't need people to have businesses in our neighborhood other than us. We can't stop them, but we're going to get in there, too, and compete. We're going to compete. You know, America is a place to compete. You know, it's based on competition. So that is what we want to do. We want to reinvigorate our communities. So what we try to do is study. We want to study business. We want to learn all we can about business. We want to bring people who are in business, you know, and also people who have schools to talk to us and encourage others to open schools and open up business. So inshallah, we have business people and we have people who are educators, see, come talk to us and share information. This is what I want this show to be about. It's to promote the initiatives and to promote the efforts of Imam W.D. Muhammad. We want to do what he told us to do. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time with a lot of preaching. I want to preach the gospel of wealth, the gospel of business, the the gospel of money. You know what I mean? Because we do need it. You know, and I want to preach the gospel of Claire Muhammad School, and I want to, you know, teach and preach about these things. And I want other people to, you know, tell other people that so many times a week, this is, you know, our show is going to be dedicated to this. And I want to eventually expand into TV and YouTube in order to spread the message. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. So all praises be to Allah. The first book that I would recommend that you get, that you have to get, is Why We Want You to Be Rich, and read it, let's discuss it, call in, you know, and I'll be, well, in just a little while, you'll be able to call in and you know, give us your views, give us your ideas about what you're reading. Look up Donald Trump's books. He got several books, a bunch of books. Get his books and get Robert Kiyosaki's book. Robert Kiyosaki and Donald Trump, they have lots of books. Also, they have these board games that teaches children to be financially literate. According to Robert Kiyosaki, that is the problem. Most people are not financially literate. And they don't teach us about money in school. They really don't teach us about money in school. And that's intentional, according to Donald Trump and Robert Kiyosaki. That's why they want us to be. Imam Muhammad said that they feel bad that so much money has transferred from the poor and middle class to the rich. So much money. And he said America's not going to last if it stays that way. That's why, and Imam Muhammad comments on that when he says that if we encourage people from our community to be rich, it's going to help a lot more. In other words, we need people from in the hood to learn business and to grow and become big, even rich, because it'll go a whole lot further. It'll go a whole lot further in helping our people. So that's why so much encouraged by Trump's and Kiyosaki's book, Why We Want You to Be Rich. Because if, you know, the imam talks about it, go to my Facebook page, my Facebook, New Africa, space, SPACE, code, and STEM Academy. New Africa, space, code, and STEM Academy. Why? But I name it space because I want to encourage our children to come into the mathematics and science. You know, Imam Muhammad said that the purpose of the Holy Quran, the P-U-R-P-O-S, the purpose of the Holy Quran is to eventually lead us to the exact sciences. So Imam Muhammad was a science enthusiast, because he says that's the purpose of the Quran. Purpose of the Holy Quran. So we want to encourage our children to get into mathematics and science. You know, it's a lady named Rebecca Keller, who is a PhD in chemistry. She started writing books for her children when she found out that her little children, there were no books to teach her little ones science. When I say science, I'm talking about biology and chemistry and physics and astronomy. So she went about to write her own books in a way that a kindergarten would understand science and science concepts and astronomical concepts and biological, a kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade. Her name is Rebecca Keller. She has a company called Science for Kids. But this is what, inshallah, this is another thing I want to do here in the West Coast, is create another Claire Muhammad School out here in Los Angeles area. And this is going to be some of the books that we're going to use. We're going to get them from Dr. Rebecca Keller, Science for Kids. You know, alhamdulillah. You can see that on that Facebook page, New Africa Space Code and STEM Academy. New Africa Space Code. The things that I'm telling you, where Imam Muhammad says that the purpose of the Holy Quran is to lead us toward the exact science. It's right there on my page, you see. And also, Imam Muhammad talks about Donald Trump is a good-hearted human, and Robert Kiyosaki, they're good-hearted humans, and he really liked what they were doing, and, you know, they were good people, and they were trying to uplift African-American, middle-class African-American. That's on my page, on my Facebook page. So go to New Africa Space Code. What is code? It's computer science. That's what it is, code. You say code, someone's coding. They say, well, he coded that. In other words, he used the skills of computer science to create a program. Code, space code, and STEM. What is STEM? Science, technology, engineering, and math. So they call it STEM. STEM. Science, technology, engineering, math. So I say, I want to capture it all. So I say, New Africa Space. I want to encourage our people, encourage our children to get into science. And nothing really turns on and stimulates the imagination that this whole space movement, that going to Mars, going to the moon, and these brothers and sisters, a lot of African Americans now were astronauts. They're going to the International Space Station. We should bring these things to our children and capture their imagination and encourage them to get into math and science. But at the same time, encourage them to read the Wall Street Journal and business publications. Encourage your teenagers to read the Wall Street Journal and business publications. My daughter, I have a daughter, and she, on a field trip, they went to a company that created games and other things through coding and computer programming. It was over here on Worship Boulevard here in Los Angeles a few years ago, maybe 3 years ago or so. And they had different talks from the animation department, the music department, the actual coding department, and all that, about explaining how their company worked and what they did and all that. But the guy from the finance department, he's the one who said, encourage your children to read the Wall Street Journal as a start. Read it. You know why? Because as our children learn the mathematics and science, we're not just getting them ready to go get a job. We want to actually teaching this, and they've become so mathematically inclined and so scientifically inclined that they're reading these business and financial publications that they're going to start businesses. They're going to feel comfortable enough to go start a business, be an entrepreneur. We're not just educating our children to go get jobs. There's nothing wrong with a job. Nothing wrong with a job. You know, as they say, keep your day job. But we want to eventually have our children so bright, so intelligent, that they'll create a job, they'll create companies, they'll create businesses, they'll create corporations. You see, this is the type of thing that I understand Imam Muhammad was trying to get over. This is what I understand it, and this is what I live by. This is what I teach. This is what I preach to my own children. You see, alhamdulillah. So, that's what we want to do. That's what, inshallah, we're going to do. For Allah, Allah bless us with our health and strength. Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. So, we want to start studying. Why we want to be rich, why we want you to be rich first. And this show is why they want you to be rich. They, Imam W.D. Muhammad, Donald Trump, Robert Kiyosaki, why they want you to be rich. Why they want us to be rich, you see. Alhamdulillah. So I'll be able to take calls, not today, sometime in the future, sometime in the near future. But, you know, we'll take calls and do all that. Alhamdulillah, it's coming. But a reading list. You know, Imam Muhammad in the early days, when he first became a leader, he was just reading books. He told us about subliminal seduction and emotional intelligence. And the Get Colony. What was that one by Christopher Lash? culture of narcissism. So he was able to get the Quran, get the wisdom of the Quran, and then find other books that illuminated and enhanced what the Quran was saying, what Prophet Muhammad was saying. So he was, Imam Muhammad was reading books and dropping these books on us. Christopher Lash, The Culture of Narcissism, Subliminal Seduction, oh, it just went on and on and on. We was all, brother, we was just reading and reading email. So this is what it's all about. So why we want you to be rich, get that one first. Start accumulating books by Robert Kiyosaki and Donald Trump, and we'll get into them, and we'll start discussing different things. We'll start discussing AMCOP. What happened to AMCOP? What went wrong? You know, what happened to CPC? What went wrong? A couple of the imams, though, alhamdulillah, are doing great. Like I think Imam Yahya Abdullah, who's a Quranic scholar, but he also a businessman. He's doing well, selling merchandise. And it's funny, another brother, Imam Pasha, the imam from New York City, I understand someone was telling me that he owns acres of Detroit, and he's doing something very great. I want to get these brothers on the air, and we talk to them and listen to them. You know what I mean? We want to find out what they're doing, what's making them successful. Alhamdulillah, we're trying to bring people here like that. Allahu Akbar. You see? And it's other people. It's people who are doing something in New Medina, Mississippi, I understand. Alhamdulillah, we'll have people on our radio show. And then as we expand, I want to get other people who want to broadcast at different hours than my broadcast. Alhamdulillah. Lord. Yeah, so that's about all. We're getting started so late, and usually we want to start broadcasting around 4, because it's 4 o'clock here in Los Angeles, and 7 o'clock in New York City and New Jersey and the East Coast. So we want to reach all these, as many audiences and time zones as we can. So this is Amin Yasir Muhammad. You have your assignment. Get the book, Why We Want to Be Rich. Start reading it. And eventually in a week or two or 3 weeks or so, we'll be able to take calls. I want to hear from you. Alhamdulillah. And you got to study business. And start looking up Robert Kiyosaki's book. You know, he wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And he really hit it big when he appeared on the Oprah Winfrey Show. And because Oprah Winfrey asked him about the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And he grew from there. And then Donald Trump, like I said, wrote a lot of books too. So we have our assignment. Keep up with Betsy DeVos. She is the Secretary of Education. Donald Trump nominated her Secretary of Education. She's the one who is over the vouchers. She's like a pit bull. I'm not calling her a dog. I shouldn't say that. I say that all the time. But she's an enthusiast. She's a hell of an enthusiast for vouchers and school choice. So keep up with what she's doing, Betsy DeVos, because we want to be able to chime in and find out exactly, I mean, I'm talking about to the nth degree, how these vouchers work, because we need vouchers for our Clara Muhammad School children, our bus children. We take them out of the public school system, take them away from the gangster rap and all that stuff like that. You know what I mean? I already told you that last week, but how the gangster rap was like prison jingles that these kids buy into and end up going into jails, these privately owned prisons, how these music companies was not only creating these gangster rap groups, gangster rap acts, they were investing in privately owned prisons. In other words, they was creating the ideology, creating the spirit behind these children starting to gravitate toward crime, because they talk about robbing and stealing and killing and all this kind of stuff and dope dealing and all like that. You know, they glamorize it. They put it to music and make it seem so, so wonderful, you see. And then these children, our children buy into it. And you parents, you Muslim parents, don't let your children, inquire, what are they listening to? Because, you know, your children, even though his name is Abdul or his name is Muhammad, going to these public schools, you know, these kids are listening. You know, they bring these listening devices, the electronic devices, they be listening to this gangster stuff and this immoral stuff and get it from behind. And I want to take your man, and I want to take your woman, and all this old kind of old stuff. But we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. So start monitoring what your child, and start teaching them that, son, you're listening to a prison jingle. All that stuff's going to do is influence you to do something silly, smoke weed, snort coke, or rob somebody, beat up somebody, and be in a prison. The same music companies that produce the music have investments in privately-owned prisons. Like I said, look up the secret meeting. Google this. The secret meeting that changed rap music and destroyed a generation. The secret meeting, it was about a guy who was invited to a meeting in 1991. 1991 is kind of like a pivotal year. Around that time, NWA was like 89 or so, but you know what I mean? About that time, they said, well, let's proliferate, let's expand, let's multiply this gangster rap for these black kids. And they said, oh, yeah, but white people buy more albums, gangster rap. How can you explain that? How can you explain that white people in suburbia consume more and buy more and support more gangster rap than blacks do? Well, first of all, they got more money. And as long as you ain't talking about Susie Weinstein prostituting and doing this as long as you ain't talking about Mary Beckham, you know, as long as we talk about Joquisha and you know, the sisters, doing this and hitting from behind and doing all like that, all that kind of stuff they rap about. These rap groups clearly are talking about African America. That rap music, that gangster rap music, is not an equal opportunity employer. All they're doing is talking about our community, all the filthy and dirty, nasty, immoral things in our community. So white folk will buy it. Yeah, they'll buy it. You know, they might attend. Remember, in the old days, they attend the lynching. All them pictures that we see, these brothers hanging up by the neck. You saw a whole mob full of white folk attending the lynching. So, okay, well, then, okay, they'll lynch us again. They lynch us in a way by buying these, filthy albums and encouraging, you know, these people and supporting these people. Yeah, they're fine. As long as you ain't talking about them, the white folks ain't going to let you. White folks are not going to let you create music and rhymes and poetry and rap and stuff about their daughters committing immoral acts and crime and prostitution, and their sons robbing and stealing and killing. White folk ain't gonna let you do that. White folks ain't. Well, in a sense of speaking, though, you know, they do have gangster and cowboy movies and stuff like that. You know, I might have to look at that. But this rap music goes a little bit into the soul of these children. They come to school rapping that, and they could, you know what I mean? They could recite that stuff from memory. You know, that's Satan. Satan, that's Pharaoh. Satan, you know, from the desire. So we got our homework assignment. Spread the word. Let everybody know that they could go to New Africa Space Code and STEM Academy on Facebook. I don't have my website yet. And they can learn a little bit more, spread the word. And we're going to talk about some serious things. We're going to get behind these programs. And we're going to get rich, inshallah. We're going to get rich, like E-Man wanted us to. So, look, I'm checking out now. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم.